bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
And tonight back in Pittsburgh, tonight game number 159 in the regular season. So the end is just around the corner. Orioles here tonight trying to get back in the win column after last night being soundly defeated in game one of this three-game series. Lost that game 10-1. Or if you only count Andrew McCutchen's offensive output last night, it was 8-1 Pirates. So Orioles, they got beaten up in that ballgame last night. And tonight, Gabriel Ynoa, the right-hander, will be on the hill and looking for what would be for him a second consecutive victory. Now we're back in Pittsburgh as we continue with the Geico Manager's Report. There was Buck Showalter in the Oriole dugout a couple of hours ago. The media was gathered, and Buck was sitting down, and he looked at them right in the eye, and Buck said,
"What's new? Anything?
Do you have starters for this weekend yet?"
"Yeah, Miley's home Friday. We'll see what Saturday and Sunday bring. But we're going to see how we get through tonight. Roger and I got it set up for, so we'll see. I mean, I know who we're going to pitch if we had to select a day, but something could happen here tonight. Gosman may pitch Sunday. I know talking to Kevin, he really doesn't want to. He's about, he had 190 innings, I think, last year. He's a little bit, he's under where he was last year. We were talking about him. He'd like to pitch one more time. So we'll see if that happens. Let's see how we get through. It's one of the things we're contemplating. And see how we get through as a bullpen on tonight and Friday. It's that time of year.
We asked yesterday about whether Bundy had anything to gain from getting another start. I mean, what does Kevin have to gain from maybe getting another start?
I think kind of keeping his innings and his starts very similar to last year. I know I'd like for him to finish on a little more positive note than that one, but Tampa may not allow him to either. But we look at what we could benefit, what would be best for the organization for Saturday and Sunday to happen. So that's really where we start with it when we decide who's going to pitch in. And there's a lot of factors involved, whether it's you're contemplating a Tanner Scott or Castro or a Wright or a Jimenez or a Tillman. You know, those are all factors. You say, okay, at the end of the day, you know, what is our best looks?
Kevin just didn't want to end the season on the kind of note that he did. Mm-hmm.
And
asking to pitch again.
He didn't ask. No, he didn't ask. It's something that we know that's his normal day. And, you know, like always, Roger talks to them about what they're feeling, what they're thinking, and that just presents itself as an option for Sunday.
Pedro at first base. You just want to give him a start here. Is Chris okay?
Chris is all right. I think, Pete's had a I think Pete, through the season and the things he went through in AAA, this is a big place in his life and memories and stuff. And people like him here. They had a lot of, I can tell how he must have treated people here. I know they have a little something planned for him. And I was trying to pick a spot last night, but, you know, Brault didn't really cooperate. But there weren't many people there at the end of the game, so hopefully a lot of people. You know, Pete played first base pretty well down in Norfolk, and he's been swinging a bat a little bit for us. Just kind of run some people out there that we want to see.
The switching of Machado and Scope the past couple of days, is that because of no DH, really?
A little bit. Some of it's trying to give Manny potentially some more RBI situations, trying to see if he could get fortunate and some people out there and get a knock.
Not adding a pitcher today?
I didn't need one to today. Could potentially on Friday or Saturday, depending on what we decide to do on Saturday and Sunday, because if we take people out of the bullpen, then we got to replace them. What else?
With Hellickson, just what you guys have seen from him in the short time, I mean, he's always been a guy who was known for, you know, limiting big innings, keeping the ball in the yard, not walking guys. It really has, it's kind of been his MO over the course of his career. He really wasn't, kind of struggled with that consistency here. Was there anything that you saw that, you know, you could kind of pinpoint to some of that in terms of like that consistency, I guess?
Yeah. But I'm not going to, you know, he's had a good career so far. I'm sure he's got some things planned for next year, and he's a free agent. And, you know, I know what he looked, what he was like in Tampa, and you know, nobody's the same 3 or 4 years later, and he's everybody changes somewhat. I'm not going to get into some of the challenges that I think he's faced here in this season. Hopefully, he'll get him behind him and be a good pitcher for somebody next year.
Anything new on Jones and Beckham?
I think Beck's got a chance to be on the field. He's taking ground balls, moving around today. He looks pretty good for Friday. And who's the other?
Jones.
I'm hoping that he can play sometime in Tampa. And
I know you've discussed this before during the season. Are you at all surprised how quickly Trey developed as an outfielder?
Yeah, I am. It's another one of those things that I don't have a whole lot more from an experience standpoint. It should remind you that, you know, because I didn't think he could become the outfielder he's become. And I'm not saying he's Gold Glove, but he's solid out there. It was a lesson for me. It was something, especially when you got the want to that he's got with it. He wanted to be good at it, and he knew that, you know, first base was going to be tough. So I'm very proud of the work that he and Curb did all year long to get there.
In Pittsburgh tonight, Chan Cisco tonight makes a fourth consecutive start. His last three games, he's gone 4-for-7 with a couple of home runs. And about 13 days ago, his first Major League home run in a game at Yankee Stadium. So Cisco getting a late season opportunity. And he and Dave Johnson got together before the game tonight. And you're going to hear that conversation as we continue with the warm-up show right after this. All right, back at Pittsburgh, let's go downstairs. Dave Johnson with Chan Cisco.
Chan, tonight you're getting a chance to start again. And give us an idea of kind of what's kind of going through your mind as getting an opportunity to start here and kind of get a little bit more familiar and relax a little bit, you know, behind the plate.
Yeah, just trying to go out there with an open mind and learn from these guys, learn from the pitchers, and I'm just excited to be behind the plate and kind of get these few starts out of the way. I mean, and going into next camp, ready to go. So I mean, I'm excited to be able to start behind the plate and, like I said, kind of get some starts under my belt and just be confident back there and get comfortable with catching at this level.
You know, in spring training, it ends. You start out in Norfolk. What did your coaches kind of tell you, you know, that you needed to kind of do defensively that they specifically kind of wanted you to work on once you got to Norfolk before you would get an opportunity to come back up here?
Yeah, I talked with JR, and our main focus was to quicken things up with my footwork on throwing the bases and quicken my release a little bit. So, I mean, that's what we worked on in camp a lot, and just tried to translate that into the season and keep it rolling in Norfolk. And things started to click a lot more in the second half there, throwing-wise, and just built on that.
You know, having an opportunity to play every day in Norfolk or regularly, and then clearly they want you to swing the bat. That's what you're known for. You're a really good hitter, and you got to be a good defensive catcher as well. How difficult was it to kind of, you know, separate those two, really work on one, keep that going, and then also kind of make some adjustments that you know they wanted you to work on behind the plate?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough. You're trying to be a catcher and have good at-bats, but just remind yourself to completely separate the two. And when you're at the plate, you're a hitter, and when you're behind it, you're a catcher. You can't be thinking about the other one when you're on the other side of the plate. So, I mean, just focusing on catching when I'm back there, and then when my at-bats come, just keep that focus. But this season, I just mainly wanted to focus on catching and focus on the things that I needed to get better at behind the plate. And I think I did. I think I did a lot of good things, and I learned a lot of good stuff from the coaches and the guys that I was around.
What's the toughest thing coming up here to handle a staff that you haven't worked with for the most part all year? Not that you haven't caught some bullpens with some guys or things like that in spring training, but you know, trying to call a game for them, not necessarily having seen them all year. What do you kind of do to prepare for that with each guy?
just talk to him, really. I mean, yeah, it is tough, but just try to make it as smooth as possible and kind of let them... I'm running it, running the game and calling the pitches and stuff, but obviously if they want to shake, they can shake, because this is this first few go-arounds, I'm really trying to get a feel of how they go about their sequencing and all that. I have a way of things that I like to run off of, but I also bounce ideas off them, and we try to work together and find the easiest way to do things.
What about from an offensive standpoint? You're, to me, watching you, you're just really short and quick to the ball, not a lot of movement. To me, it's the way a lot of guys should hit, but you just seem to be textbook with that. Who kind of taught you to do that along the way? I mean, how far back does that go?
From since I started playing, really. There's never been really a time in my life that I changed something dramatically at the plate. I mean, I've lowered my hands, I've spreading out a little bit, but there's also been times where I had hit like that in the past, so that I don't know, it's kind of just natural. I've always just hit off the tee, and done my dad's thrown to me a million times in the backyard and on the bat at the field in the town. I mean, he always just wanted me to put the barrel on the ball and never talked about anything else besides barreling the baseball. So I mean, that's something that I've just kept with me, and that's still what I try to do.
With being in Norfolk, a lot of people talk about Norfolk being a tough place to hit for power anyway, and but you kind of still came on there the second half defensively and offensively, and you hit some home runs, and it looks like you just, the home runs kind of happened by accident. Is that you're just trying to put a good swing on the ball?
Yeah, absolutely. Home runs for me are by accident. I'm just trying to barrel the ball, and if it goes out, it goes out. I mean, I've hit a lot of doubles in my life, like, and in pro ball. I mean, I've been more of a doubles gap-to-gap type guy, so when we play at parks where fences are shorter, they sometimes turn into home runs.
Well, good luck the rest of the way, and we'll see you in spring training.
Thank you.
Oriole baseball is next. You know, Enoa gave up a couple of home runs early, and I'll tell you, you give up home runs. Those were memorable home runs you gave up.
Well, they weren't cheapies. I mean, you don't want to give those fence scrapers up, but it's also somewhat not necessarily the most it's not the most fun thing to be out on the mound and having them hit rockets. Afterwards, you can kind of chuckle about it a little bit, and even more so, maybe if you give up a bomb, but yet you still end up winning the ball game. So he's not going to be chuckling about this because he's trying to make his mark, and he had pitched well so far this season for the Orioles, especially his last start or so, and unfortunately, it went the other way tonight.
How about Wade Miley gets a start on Friday, so he gets a chance to kind of redeem himself one more start?
He does. I mean, realistically, when you look at it, I mean, the Orioles have been thinking about even bringing up another pitcher for the last series, and they were thinking about bringing up one today. Speculation was it could be Asher. It could be one of the other guys down there in the mini camp that they have, because you know the starters have not been going deep here. And next thing you know, they don't want to, you know, run into anybody getting in a situation where they pitch him too much. But, yeah, Miley's going to get a start, and he's going to have to tip his cap to Buck Showalter for that, because to me, they really should be kind of looking at some of the other guys. I would doubt very seriously if Wade Miley is on this ball club next year.
Yeah, I think so. I think good, too. Kevin Gausman might get the start on Sunday at Tampa. It's good because he does not want to go out on the game he had the other day.
Yeah, because of the off day tomorrow, that gives in a position where they don't have other pitchers to have to worry about. The bullpen is going to get a blow, so to speak, and I think it's good that he's going to give Kevin an opportunity to go back out there and try to finish on a positive note. That was clearly not the game he wanted to end this season on after pitching so well in the second half.
No, as he said, it was ugly. So I'll see you in Tampa, huh?
I guess.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Okay.
You be there.
All right, I'll be there.
You have to be there. I'm looking forward to it. Well, the Pirates had the lead right away against Enoa in the first inning, a couple of singles, and then Bell came up and began his big night. He had a fastball, ground ball, base hit left field. That ball right past Hardy, so that will drive in a run. Frazier comes in from third, the ball back into third. It's a 1-0 Pirate lead. Royals came back during the second inning against Chad Kuhl as Alvarez with a leadoff single, and then Mancini an infield single, and then, Cisco picked up the RBI. Cisco, line drive out toward left center. On the run is Marte. He cannot get to it. He does cut the ball off. So here's Pedro. He comes in to score, and the relay to second base, and the throw there is too late. Cisco slides in. He's got a double and an RBI, and it's a 1-1 game. And the JJ drove in a run with a ground out, so Orioles had the lead, and then Santander began his big night. And Santander, it's a high fastball. He drills it out toward right center. McCutcheon cannot get to it. He plays that bounce off the wall, so that will drive in a run. The ball back into second base, and Santander pulls up at second with an RBI double. Man, he spanked it, too. Now the Orioles got three runs on four hits to take the two-run lead. Inoue went back to work, bottom of the second inning. Polanco, the leadoff hitter. And Inoue, again, he delivers. Fastball, drilled to deep right. Forget about it. Wow, long gone. Looks like that thing was headed for the Allegheny River. A rocket gets out of here to make it a 3-2 game. There you go, no doubter. And then in the third inning, Inoue still pitching, two outs and no one on. McCutcheon got a base on balls. And that's when Josh Bell really got a hold of him. And the pitch. Little slider drilled to deep right center. 25. And that ball is going to go in the Allegheny River. That is a mammoth three-run home run. My goodness. A two-run home run, I beg your pardon. It sounded like a three-run homer. But it's only a two-run homer. And the Pirates are ahead 4-3. After the second inning tonight, did not score again. They had a couple of base runners in the fourth. They hit into a big double play in the fifth. They got two leadoff singles in the sixth, but could not capitalize. And in the end, after a single by Santander, his third hit of the ball game in the ninth inning, well, the Orioles had the tying run up there to hit. Austin Hayes came up with two outs, hit the ball real hard, but not hard enough. He came 2-0. Here it comes. Fastball, Hayes drills it out to deep right center. Backing up is McCutcheon. He reaches out, and on the run, he makes a one-handed catch as he got to the warning track to end the game. And the Orioles in Pittsburgh again in the loss column. And now we head to St. Petersburg. We'll continue right after this. Well, the Orioles are second consecutive loss here in Pittsburgh tonight. They've lost 16 of 20. They are now 33-38 since the All-Star break tonight. They scored in only one inning in the entire game. It's tough to win that way. Buck Showalter with the media after the game.
Santander with three hits tonight. I mean, how much is this benefiting him to get these starts? It looks like he's swinging the bat really well now.
Well, it's as much for us as it is him, but he was impressive tonight. Almost ran down on one ball. Had a good break on another one. More about how he's going to fit in defensively too. So it's good to see him, just like Austin and even Trey, learning to play this time of year and knowing. I think I talked to Trey the other day. The biggest challenge, usually you're at home now. It's late September. You're still playing baseball. So those are good experiences for him.
What did you see out of Inoue?
A little flat. Not much Christmas to his stuff. He's pretty flat, everything. And the breaking ball is a little sloppy, and that's not going to work. Basically, he was a two-pitch pitcher. Last time out and pitched well, and tonight he threw a few changeups, but nothing that they had to put into the memory bank. So it was, I thought he was, wasn't getting down the hill, wasn't much real urgency moving down the hill, and when didn't seem to really get after it.
Knowing that you're playing a lot of different guys, mm-hmm. last couple of weeks, teams had a lot of difficulties. How would you sort of describe how the team's been playing last couple?
Well, obviously we're not winning, so that's how in the day we're judged by our scoring more runs than the other team at the end of nine innings. So that's been a challenge for us. We're getting some looks at guys, but we'd like to win games. Some young pitchers are getting some opportunities to show, and they better take advantage of it. Night Witness wasn't one of those nights, and Pete had a good outing, good game obviously, and I thought Mike was really good tonight, and that was good to see. So those type of things you put in your memory bank as you go home, and whether you're a young player trying to make a mark or whether you're somebody that's been here all year, it's those are things that that you think about when the season's over.
We talk about Mike. I mean, was that about as good as you've seen him recently, especially trying to get out? He only allowed a couple runners, but then he was able to get out of that jam.
Yeah, I thought he was crisp. You know, he commanded the fastball and had some secondary pitches once he got the first hit or two out of the way. He settled in, gave us a chance to win. You know, Mike gave up a run that, you know, we need to keep from happening, and then Richard had another good outing.
For a guy who hadn't played first much, what do you think of Pedro's playing the first inning? Wasn't
He's played the first inning was great. You know, he's one of the few guys that type of arm strength. You know, JJ and I were talking, so that was hot coming over there. And you know, Pete's played a lot of first base. He's played a lot. He's played this year, played about a month of it, I think, down the last part of it, played a lot, and I think he played almost a whole season here, but he's been DHing mostly. Right. You're right about that. And but it is an unfamiliar place. He's been taking work over there since he's been up. But, you know, I'm sure most people would be a lot more comfortable if he'd been over there for an extended period of time. But I thought he handled himself well over there, especially in the environment he was doing it in. I thought that was a nice moment with him remembering a lot of the good things Pete did here and may do again.
Hit through the shift. That was good for him.
Pardon?
When he hit through the shift the first time.
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to hit towards the shift, you need to hit it over them if they're shifting you a lot. But, yeah, I mean, keep hitting it hard. They'll fall. Good things happen to good people. Pete's good people.
That's Skip and Buck Showalter after the game. Orioles get beat tonight 5-3.